This is an ABC podcast.
Hey, Joe Lauder with you for the Hack Podcast. It's a Friday shake-up, and that means we're hanging out with some absolute legends talking about the biggest news of the week.
Hack.
I have a thing where I make models of buses.
It's just dated, in my opinion. And then you bring up something like, well, women are worried about, you know, their periods.
Dude, you see how many people in Europe right now?
Was that fun?
Amazing.
But, like, I don't care.
On Triple Jack.
Yeah, so Boris Johnson has resigned as British Prime Minister after what seemed like months of hanging on after everyone wanted him to go. But kind of, because there's a catch, because he's not quite gone yet. There might be one party left. Also, from one stuffy British tradition to another, Wimbledon is on at the moment, and there's been a bit of debate, actually, about the all-white uniforms that the players have to wear. So is it time to ditch all-white dress codes for Wimbledon? And should we quit social media for winter? I'm thinking about it personally because I'm sick of opening my social media and seeing my mates on their ridiculously lavish European holidays. The other option is maybe we need a special feature to block people's holiday posts, or hey, maybe I'm a Grinch. Let me know what you think on 0439 75 7555. Now, as always, joining me for the Friday Shake-Up, I've got a bunch of legends. I've got Guardian reporter Matilda Bosley. Matilda, hello.
Hello.
And I've also got comedian and host of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under, Reese Nicholson. Hello, Reese.
Hello.
Reese, I hear there's a new season of RuPaul's Down Under. What can we expect?
Oh, it's like just more of the same. No, imagine if I just told you who the winner was. We're on the 30th of July, we're coming back, and it's... Because we're the second season, I think what's great about it is that you don't have, like, the sword of Damocles of season one floating over you. Like you know, we've got one out of the way. We kind of know a little bit more what we're doing. And, yeah, we've got a bunch of great, great girls coming through.
Okay, this is a bit of a confession, but I haven't watched it yet. Like, what should I hang out for this season?
Oh, so you haven't watched any Drag Race before? Or?
No, I haven't.
No.
I've been meaning to.
Okay. That's all right. It's fine. You work on a news program. I'd be worried if you would, like,
I've been watching Boris Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. And look, it's very similar. The hair's similar. It's a similar detail. It's like, look, if people haven't watched Drag Race before or anything, I mean, first of all, I'm impressed. I don't know how you've done that. To not be, you know, at a certain moment, you realize we're all just like specks of dust and debris floating around RuPaul. He's just gone so, that guy's got a lot of money. But it's a competition reality show where basically a bunch of drag queens battle it out to be crowned the next drag superstar. And why wouldn't you want to watch that?
Oh my God, sign me up.
It's not like, I always think people think it's like a trashy thing. It's so not trashy. It's like easy to watch and it's fun, but it's not, you know, it's not like Real Housewives or anything like that. Like it's not that kind of brutal, like people fighting. It's like, it's just a bunch of dudes putting on some dresses.
Look, as someone who's just watched three seasons of Real Housewives straight in a row, I'm still sold. I'll still watch. I'll still
yeah.
I felt this like this need to like jump in and defend my girl Lisa Renner there for some reason.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Do you go in on the Melbourne one? I'm like I worked with Gina once, Gina Liano, and I tell you what, that lady is. You don't want to cross that lady. She's not someone that you mess around with.
I'm honestly too scared. I'm in awe of her. I'm worried that she'll like know where I am, and you know,
she's
find
a goddamn
me.
Barrister. She's a barrister. Now, not barista. She's not a barista. She's a barrister. And she does barristing with that hair. Does she have to put a wig on top of that hair?
Okay. Speaking of outrageous hairstyles, guys, we've got to talk about Boris Johnson.
All right.
I have a thing where I make models of buses.
On Triple Jack.
Oh my God, yeah, that's probably, if you haven't seen that video, that is a very memorable interview given by former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. It's truly bizarre. He kind of just rambles about how he builds model buses and then also models of happy passengers riding them. And look, Boris Johnson's always been a bit of a clown, and for a long time, you know, people called him Teflon Boris because he's had so many scandals. But he's managed to stay in the top job for a long time. It didn't seem to affect his popularity, all these scandals. But that all changed with Partygate. This is the name of really a long string of scandals where Boris Johnson and his staff were busted having parties or gatherings during COVID lockdowns in the UK. So while they were telling people they couldn't leave their homes, really, except for a couple of reasons, they were buying booze, they were having after-work drinks, or sometimes, you know, these were full-blown parties. And he also lied about them, which was a really crucial part of this scandal as well, until they were eventually caught out. But the latest scandal, though, was really the last straw when he appointed someone to the role of chief whip, despite them knowing that there were accusations of sexual misconduct against him. And this week, there were over 50 of Boris Johnson's ministers that resigned from their post.
Hack.
It is clearly now the will
of the Parliamentary Conservative Party that there should be a new leader of that party and therefore a new prime minister.
But he doesn't have, I don't think, the support of the party or indeed the country anymore.
A lot of people will be confused about how you can be a prime minister who resigns and then essentially appoints yourself as a caretaker prime minister.
Revelations that he and his staff defied his own government's rules and attended alcohol-soaked lockdown parties.
Mr. Speaker, whatever happened, the guidance was followed and the rules were followed at all times.
What do you do to relax? What do you do to switch off?
I like to...
What do you make?
I have a thing where I make models of buses.
You make models of buses?
I make models of buses.
See, they're going to be in Downing. Okay, that's what you do to enjoy yourself.
I paint the passengers enjoying themselves.
Okay, great.
On the wonderful bus.
Great.
On Triple J.
Yeah, what do you think? Has this been a long time coming, or did you expect Boris to survive another scandal? Also, is Boris really the end of this character of kind of the rogue, buffoonish, populist politician? Text in on 0439 75 7555. Ryan on the text line has said, 10 Downing Street next Friday, open bar, bring a friend. Also, he said, Boris got kicked out over some parties. Can you imagine what his leaving party is going to be like? Also, James in Bundjalung Country says, people keep saying Boris is going, but he's not really yet, is he? Not really. Matilda Bosley, do you have a favourite Boris scandal or moment or interview?
I was coming here. I was so prepped. I thought that I was so original with this making the cardboard bus moment. I'm like, no one will have the cardboard bus. We've played it a bunch of times. Every fun moment of Boris is kind of tainted a little bit.
Yeah,
because
totally.
You're sort of like, yes, this is all a profound, to some degree, an act that humanises someone while allowing them a sort of facade of fun, jovial buffoon that while sort of trampling along the truth. That being said, when he did shoot the basketball backwards and get a score, pretty good. So I can't take that away from him. It is soured, you know?
Yeah, totally. Reese, what about you?
Well, I mean, first of all, with the bus thing, we've heard it a couple of times now. I can't get over, I never want to see a politician start a sentence with, I do this thing. Like, it's just like a weird way to start a sentence for someone that's in charge of like a superpower. I mean, I think it's the obvious choice. I think it's what most people say. I always go to him getting caught on the harness in London.
The zip line. Like, yeah, just hanging there with the Union Jacks.
Which you never want to see a person of power wearing a harness. Like, it's just not, I'm sure a lot of politicians wear harnesses in different contexts, but like you just don't want to see that publicly, I don't think. Isn't it interesting that kind of, I have a UK friend that is a political journalist, and they were saying like a big part of Boris Johnson was like, they'd see him early days before he was even PM, saw him speak at things, and he used to like mess up his hair before a speech.
Oh, yeah.
And just how like, I think we're so victims of it in this country as well. We love like a dorky dad. Like, you know, we've just had a dorky dad for like, you know, the last few years. And it's just, it's so, I always find it so fraudulent because there's no way you can get to this level of politics, no matter what country it is, without being an absolute terrifying shark in some way. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, you're ruthless.
Yeah, you can't be that level of politician without being terrifying.
You just need to, you know, you can be as cutthroat and, you know, deadly behind the scenes. As long as you just trip over a kid playing soccer, that seems to be the common thread between them. Because Boris did that too. He was really the trailblazer. For me, what it really, this whole scandal, what it's made me kind of worry about, and I think everyone should be worried about, is this idea that I think we think that, you know, if everything at the day at work after a Christmas party is all good, then you're in the clear. But this has come back to bite him 2 years later.
Yeah.
And that worries me.
But it wasn't just one party. There was something like 16 parties that they had over that period. And his defence was, well, 10 Downing Street is my residence and my workplace, so the lines are blurred because, hey, all my colleagues and friends are suddenly at my house, so it's okay and they're allowed to be there, which... It's a weird, I don't think it really flied with people.
Yeah, it's work from home rules. They can all have Zoom drinks from different rooms at 10 Downing.
There was that time where he said he didn't know he was at a party in lockdown. He's like, oh, I didn't realise it was a party. I'm like, who believes that?
Have you never been to a party? I didn't know what a party was. I don't understand. I mean, the irony being, if he had have not had a party now, he would still have a party. Hey-o, jokes.
That was beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Matilda, there's always been this criticism of Boris Johnson about his entitlement and that, you know, that he acted like he was entitled to the leadership, and that really came out even in his speech last night, people said. And also the Partygate scandal. Do you think that was an issue that people saw that it looked like he thought he was above the law.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, I think we often talk about Boris within this context of like, oh, these sort of right-wing populist leaders coming up. And to a certain degree, obviously, that is a common thread between him and Trump and a number of others. But there's also just that being uncancellable, like essentially, and you see it with YouTubers. I'm not sure if anyone knows about like Trisha Paytas, the YouTuber. She cannot go away. She does terrible things constantly and just refuses to be cancelled. And I think what we've seen is that, yeah, it works for YouTube. It does also work for politics, but maybe we finally are coming to that end of that sort of expiry date. But also, once again, it didn't really matter how furious the public were at him. It's when his own party, it's when other conservatives turn against him.
That's really interesting, because I was speaking to someone about this today and they were saying, I actually really respected that the party stepped in and held up a standard of integrity here and it wasn't about the public. And which is interesting also because with Australia, we're no strangers to spills. We've had a bunch of spills and people feel really outraged.
When?
Suddenly we're no longer the main country that's doing this, unfortunately. But there was this idea when we had spills that people felt really angered that they didn't get to make that decision. But in this case, do you think it was right for the party to step in and not wait for the election, Matilda?
Well, I mean, I think to a certain degree, it wasn't really about right or wrong. It was the fact that they thought that they couldn't go to the next election and have to stand behind Boris. So, you know, it's hard to view it any other way. Like, I think that is always just one of those issues with the Prime Minister series, with the Westminster system that which we both use. Then again, you do sort of see the alternative, which is when you have to rely on election, especially in countries where there's fixed term elections like the US and, you know, an unbelievably long and strenuous impeachment process that probably won't even work, as we saw, you know, with Trump in the US. I'm not sure we can look at that and be like, no, that's definitely the better option. But I think maybe it's one of those, like, there's issues with all democracy, but that feels like a bit of a cop-out. But it is, it's a choice between two kind of not ideal situations, right?
Yeah. Interesting on the text line, Mo says, the only thing I liked about this guy is his advocacy for bicycles and modelling of buses. There you go, another one. That's about it. Someone else says, so finally the Three Stooges have gone, Trump, ScoMo and Boris. And Claire says, honestly, I'm surprised he lasted this long, especially when Brits themselves saw him as a bit of a joke. I'm impressed he held on for so long. Interestingly, we're talking about the saying that he's resigned, but he's also staying on, it's this weird thing, he's staying on as interim prime minister until there's a new leader for the next couple of months, which is really convenient because he's also planned his very bougie wedding to his partner that's going to be held at the Prime Minister's residence, the country residence in Chequers, which is like this 16th century house. And there's a bit of an outrage. I mean, Reese, do you think he should be still allowed to throw his wedding at the Prime Minister's residence if he's not the Prime Minister?
Well, no. I mean, absolutely not. It's like, I quit, but also, is it cool if I still use the function room in the office?
It's a function castle, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's so, yeah. And the horror for me about all of this is like, yeah, we can throw around words like cancellation and all that kind of stuff. As a comedian, I do not believe getting cancelled exists. It sounds like a thing that just a bunch of white guys say that's going to happen to them. I do think, though, the horror out of everything is, yeah, he will get this wedding in this place and he will still be fine after all this because he'll probably get some sort of multi-million dollar consulting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nothing wrong happens to these people no matter how shit they are.
Hey, Reese, someone on the text line just says, forget Bojo, Reese for Prime Minister. I don't even... Australia, Britain, who knows?
I was going to say, we're sitting here trying to dissect, you know, what's the issue with the UK politics? Well, the fact that they have a castle, probably that's one sign. Like, yeah. I don't think we need to look much further than that, you know.
Also, that's just their country estate, apparently, as well.
Their summer castle.
Yeah. It's normally used to entertain world leaders, apparently.
It's far too warm to use the winter castle. What are you talking about? And that, the spring castle, we still have cushions in the wrong.
It's also totally like, I would be too embarrassed if my biggest scandal was Partygate to then throw one last party on the way out. Like, I would feel too ashamed self-conscious, but apparently not.
I got to say, that's a move that I would make. I feel like that is so petty and deeply, like, grim to just be like, well, you didn't like it when I did it the first time, so I'm doing it on the way out. That is absolutely something I would do and something I will do.
On the text line, Gabrielle in Nam says, I definitely think he put on the just a goofy little guy act so people would find him less intimidating and not realise how much of a right-wing populist and ghoul he is. There you go. Mm. And someone else says, so are all these British MPs still resigning or will his replacement have to start putting out job adverts? No, they were actually just resigning from their role as minister. They weren't fully quitting Parliament. They were just quitting Boris Johnson's cabinet. So, yeah, not quite.
Forgive my ignorance. What does that mean then? Like, where are they then?
They would have gone to the backbench, essentially.
Oh, okay.
So they withdrew support for him. Yeah, they essentially were just trying to, I guess, you know, force this outcome, really. And then on ABC's Instagram, Kerry says, kick him out completely now and put someone else into caretake.
It's just dated, in my opinion. And then you bring up something like, well, women are worried about, you know, their period.
On Triple J.
This is the Friday Shake-Up and I've got The Guardian's Matilda Bosley with me and comedian and judge of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under, Reese Nicholson. Now, Wimbledon is on at the moment and, yes, Australia's Nick Kyrgios is through to the finals, but we're not going to be talking about him. But there's also been an interesting discussion because, if you don't know, Wimbledon, it has lots of stuffy old traditions, let's be honest. One of them is a really strict dress code for players where they have to wear all white. It's not even like off-white or cream. It is very specific kind of white. And it might not seem like a big deal. You might be listening and thinking, like, what's the problem? But for female tennis players, some of them have come out saying that wearing all white is super stressful for them if their period's due around then or if they've got their period. And one player actually said that she skipped her period at Wimbledon for that exact reason.
And we all know the Wimbledon dress code rules are very strict. Mm. Competitors must be dressed in suitable tennis attire that's almost entirely white.
Yep.
Why then would you walk onto centre court with bright red trainers on and do an interview in a red cap?
Because I do what I want. Keep doing you then, champion.
WTA players came out and said that they have a really tough time with the dress code because of their periods, because of their menstrual cycles. And it makes sense. Like, they're afraid there's going to be leaks. Like, when you wear white clothing and things like that, there's a lot of, you know, worry about playing, especially because the clothes can also be, like, super tight and you're on TV all the time. And so I thought this was very interesting because a couple of players have had to, like, go and change, like, during Wimbledon, during their matches because of that issue. And I'm wondering if maybe this is a time for Wimbledon to change their dress code.
It's just dated, in my opinion. And then you bring up something like, well, women are worried about, you know, their periods. It's like, of course they are. And they shouldn't have to worry about this when they're playing in a grand slam. Like, yeah. I think that's the bigger picture here. It's like, let the athlete focus on being an athlete.
On Triple J.
I want to know what you think. Do you think they should change the dress code so women, you know, they feel more comfortable playing if they do have their period? Send me a message on 0439 75 7555. Let me know what you think. Already we've got some opinions. One person says, keep the all-white dress code. It's been a tradition of Wimbledon since the beginning and it adds class to the tournament. There you go. Someone else says, fair enough if you want a uniform policy, but people's underwear should not be part of it, especially if it's just a strip of colour showing through. We shouldn't be paying so much attention to the players' chests. Anyway, that's interesting. We're not really talking about chests, but sure. Matilda, what do you think? Should we change this?
Something.
I'm very well versed to speak on this as someone who at 12 years old got her first period while wearing white shorts at a karate class.
No. Oh, karate.
Yeah. It wasn't even my karate class. I was going with a friend just trying it out.
Oh my God, were you just wearing white in solidarity? Oh, you were trying it out.
No,
okay.
No. I was trying out the karate it was
I feel
traumatic.
For you. Oh my God. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. But I sort of think, yeah, I mean, of course, it should be changed. Like, I love a themed party. I throw theme parties constantly, much to my friends' deep anger. But athleticism and the people's ability to actually perform in the event needs to come first. What I think, though, is that it would be real easy to get it to change, which is just one woman needs to not care, and then the Poms are going to change that so fast, so fast.
There was that. There was a marathon, I think, a couple of years ago where a woman free bled in the marathon to, like, make a point about it. And so she was, yeah, she had a period. And, you know, marathon, I don't know, what's like 2 hours or something to kind of make that point. Reese, what do you think? Do you think this also goes to the idea, especially Wimbledon, but tennis, of kind of being sometimes a bit elitist and stuffy?
I mean, yeah, I'm under the opinion that I don't think anything should have all white written next to it anymore, surely. feels pretty uncomfortable. I think, isn't it interesting, when words like tradition get thrown around as well, It's always, people always really want to hold on to the traditions that like old white people started.
And not that long ago. Like, what,
yeah, not that long ago at all.
I don't know. Someone's probably going to tell me on the text line. It's a lot longer than that. But yeah, recent traditions, let's say.
Yeah, exactly. And I wouldn't call it a tradition. I'd call it, yeah, like an elitist, like a dress code is not a tradition, I don't think, because things change very easily. And even, you know, I mean, we played that clip of Nick Kyrgios coming out with wearing red. Like, what happened to him? Like, people were a little bit annoyed. Yeah. And then that's it, because they know deep down in their hearts that people are watching it for the players, not because it's some weird all-white party.
All-white feels like something you should only have to wear at the summer government castle, you know?
Yeah. And it's the linen. It's kind of a light, like, you know, all the cast members of Succession or something.
Oh,
like,
my God, that's exactly what I was thinking of. Yeah. I also saw Matilda that some of the male players were like, oh, I never thought of that. And I think that kind of goes to show that these issues just aren't really talked about a lot, especially in professional sports.
Oh, like completely. And also I've seen a few people sort of being like, oh, how common could this be? Wimbledon goes for 2 weeks. A period goes for a week. Like,
every month. So yeah, do the math.
I mean, it's a very large proportion of these female players who are going to have their period at some point during Wimbledon. So, you know, this is not just like a rare case. This is a regular issue that happens each year. And yeah, it's right. When we start delving into the world of classiness and making it seem more genteel and more, you know, it's like it's only just a hair's breadth away from just profound racism, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're
all
on the same page here.
Yes.
The other thing as well is, like, it's not just about the uniforms, but periods really affect your performance as a sports star as well, which is something we don't really think about when we're talking about professional sports. Hey, Matilda.
No, completely. And I think, I remember a few years ago, I can't remember her name at the moment, there was a Chinese swimmer who came third. I believe it was in it wouldn't be the Commonwealth Games. They're not part of the Commonwealth. I think it's the Olympics.
I was
just about to say that. I'm like, I think I can figure this one out. But in her interview, she was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I was going to swim that fast. I'm on my period, so I didn't think. And it caused a bit of a stir because we don't hear athletes talk about the fact of that. And it's just like very much part of life. And if we're going to be so unbelievably caught up at the moment with sports and hormones and genetics and stuff like that, mm-hmm. like we can have this discussion about making accommodation. Like, we can't make accommodation for women in that sense at all. But, like, you know, it feels like a deep double standard.
On the text line, someone says, the players also only get 2 toilet breaks. I don't know about you, but if I have a heavy flow, it takes more than 2. If I have a heavy flow, 6 hours is not enough for 2 breaks. And someone else says, keep it all white. It's been the tradition for the tournament, just like the Ashes in the cricket. And someone else says, that's why I don't play cricket anymore. Ah, there you go. Okay, sorry to hear that. There was actually, just on that thing about the 2 toilet breaks, the player who came out talking about this, she actually said as well, one time she got her period in the middle of the game and had to ask the umpire for an extra toilet break as well. And she was like, I was really lucky as a female umpire because I could actually ask about that. Mitchell, it kind of goes to this shame and stigma around periods that, like, that's an unacceptable type of blood to see, because imagine if it was like, I don't know, if it, male tennis player got like a bleeding nose, or if it was a soccer match or something and they were bleeding from the nose, it's not like shocking and horrifying to see that. But somehow, like, with menstrual blood, we think that it's not acceptable.
Yeah, we're all just weird little prudes about it, aren't we? Like, realistically, like, we've broken down a lot of barriers. Maybe it still feels like we're a way away from this one. Like, it's actually fine. And, you know, and I think it speaks to the amount of shame that we put on women and people who have periods, that they're not allowed to show it. They're not allowed to admit that they have it. You can't have a whisper of it. You need to hide your little tampons in your sleeve as you're going to the work at the, you know, bathroom in the office and stuff like that. But to the point where it does cause that amount of stress, because female athletes know that if they have their period, if it's at all visible, that is going to be the headline. It's going to be nothing about the way they played. It's going to be nothing about the career. And probably, unless you're, you know, the top female tennis player, that is what you're going to be known for the rest of your career. That might be the only thing you'll become known for, is having your period show at Wimbledon, which is just not what people are going to want to have as their reputation. So I think, you know, I think we talk about the stress. It goes a lot beyond like, oh, periods are icky, don't want it to show. They are aware that this will be a defining moment for them in a negative way if that happens.
Interesting. On the text line, someone says, I would imagine most women would skip their period for the Grand Slam, not because of the outfit, but because of the physical impact it has on the body. And someone else says, the chest remark was due to Wimbledon officials making a women player. She was told to take her coloured bra off, so she had to play without a bra.
Hack. Dude, you see many people in Europe right now? What's that? Amazing.
Well, like, I don't care.
On Triple J.
If you've just tuned in, this is the Friday Shake-Up on Hack. This is the show where you get to sound off with all of your opinions about some of the major stories that have gone down this week. Major stories, but also, you know, some of the petty stuff maybe that's going on in our lives. Like, if you're like me, maybe getting FOMO because whenever you open your social media, there's all these friends who are having amazing European holidays at the moment. Look, it might be petty, but at times it's also, you know, it's hard not to judge yourself when you see people on social media who are out there having these, like, ridiculously perfect holidays, and all you get to see is like the perfect stuff of them eating and reading and drinking on the beach in perfect blue water. And, you know, it's been, got me thinking especially about maybe taking a break on social media. What about you? Are you taking a social media break at the moment to avoid this or anything else? Text me on 0439 75 7555. Someone else says, I'm off socials except for lurking on TikTok. Do it, stick it to the man and enjoy the freedom. And someone else says, the holiday filter block is a great idea. And Dave in Queensland says, who's got money for the European holidays? It's a good point. I think we're seeing so many at the moment is because they're stacked up over the last couple of years. Matilda, am I going to have to mute you on a European holiday soon?
I've used up all of my annual leave.
Good. So I mean, far. It makes me happy. I'm sorry.
I know. I used it up to do another project. And so I'm sitting here like at home during my annual leave doing work, just like furious. Yeah, no, it's awful and I hate it and I will block people. It's going overseas still feels like illicit. It sort of like feels like if you see someone, you know, like eating a boiled egg in public, like you know that there's nothing ethically wrong with it, but like it's you shouldn't be having to see that right now. I'm a hater.
Reese, are you going to snitch on us for being haters and you're going to be really happy for all your friends?
I mean, first of all, can I just say I deeply respect the pettiness of bringing a personal gripe onto a national news program.
It's not personal if it's like half of my feed, really.
Well, I mean, I'm good on your friends, but you've clearly got great friends who are doing very well.
For not
in their
inviting
lives.
Me?
There must be people. Yeah, I mean, yeah, good point. And also, let me just very quickly say, as a comedian, I don't have any annual leave or super, but you know, I do go on a lot of holidays. So, I mean, I'm about to go overseas, but it's for work. And so, does that count? What if it's like fun stuff, but it's for work? Is that allowed?
Are you going to be stepping foot on a boat at any time?
Are you wearing all white?
Yeah.
Well, at all times, it's tradition. As you know, Australian comedians must always wear all white at all times. It's been that way forever.
Yeah, it's a fairly white thing.
I mean, look, we're trying to do better, okay? Jesus Christ. We are. I'm get a little bit jealous, but I'm one of those people, I think it comes from a point of view of I'm not a super holiday-y person, if that makes sense. Like, oh. I travel a lot as a commit. Well, I get, as a sole trader, I think it's a thing that I can't beat out of my brain that if I'm not working or doing something towards work, I feel like I'm just hemorrhaging cash.
Also, I just want to bring back, like, a little bit of realism on travel photos as well. Like, I want to see people stuck on a tarmac somewhere or, you know, like, photos of crowds or, you know, yeah, just anything that's like, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a part of travel that is very realistic.
Yeah, a picture of one of the screens in the Qantas terminal of all the cancelled flights.
I want to see the video of someone having to create a Google Doc with all their travel itinerary so their mum doesn't worry while they're gone. That's, you know.
Yeah, registering on, is it, like, Travel Smart? Or yeah, like, yeah,
exactly. Also, can I just say, in terms of bringing a personal gripe onto radio, is this about your former colleague, my current colleague, Tams and Rose? Because hers are the ones that are bothering me. I think we have a shared issue here.
There's definitely one, she's definitely one of the many people who are overseas at the moment.
Look, well, I'm going to follow this Tams and Rose person and I'm going to be very happy for them. Like, I'm going to put a lot of love eyes under them.
Now I feel like it's not a personal gripe, I swear. Look,
No, it's a personal gripe for me and I'm stand by it.
Guys, look, unfortunately, I'm not just wrapping this up because you're all making me feel really bad. No, it's actually time for that. But thank you so much. I really appreciated you guys coming on and chatting. It's been a blast. So thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, I'm off to Europe, but I just didn't want to tell you before.
Sorry. And thank you for not asking me directly about the period chat. I really appreciated that.
Look, some things I was like, you might not have personal experience.
Yeah, I'm not going to help this conversation in any way.
Thank you so much, guys. That's Reese Nicholson. He's a comedian and the judge of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under. And I've also got Matilda Bosley. She's a Guardian reporter. She's also a TikTok icon. She's the one who's always doing the amazing explainers on TikTok.
Hack on Triple J.
That's it for the Shake Up. I hope you have a great weekend. See ya.
This is an ABC podcast.